Let me see if I can remember. Christos. Christ, right? It sounds a little bit like Spanish. It's Christos. And I actually found out, I thought for years that the X in Christmas, you know how they do Xmas, was a bad thing. But I actually found out that Greek scholars came up with that as a X is a representation of Christos in Greek. So when it says Xmas, it actually stands for Christ in Greek. You learn something every new. You learn something every day, right? Amen. So, but the passage of scripture that the Lord brought me to, because when I was thinking about this, Christ does live within you, whether you tithe or not. But there is a blessing that happens when we tithe, right? He says he'll open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing that we cannot contain. And the Lord said, when the people do not tithe, this is what they're missing out on. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And we know, fast forward into the New Testament, who said this? Jesus stood up in the temple and he said, today in your hearing, this is being fulfilled. So this is what belongs with Jesus and those who are part of his family and those who tithe and the blessing that pours out of heaven. The Lord has appointed me because he has anointed me to preach good things to the poor. What is the good news? When you tithe, you know poor no more. Amen? No more. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. When you tithe, you are not brokenhearted anymore. This is part of your covenant. To proclaim liberty to the captives. How many times in your life have you felt like something has bound you up? Woo! When you are a tither, you are set free. Amen? He opens the prison to all those who are bound. So not only if you were captive, but if you've been in a prison, you felt like your whole life something has held you back. When you put that tithe into the offering basket, you say, no more. I am loosed and I am set free in Jesus' name. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God. Have you had people be mean to you? Have you had people do things to you in your life, devastating things? Guess what? The Lord is your avenger today. He is the one who will make rights from wrongs. Amen? He says, I will comfort all those who mourn. I will console those who mourn in Zion to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Are you mourning? Is there something you are mourning in your life? Because you know what? You can mourn and you don't have to have someone pass away. It can be a grief that you've carried because of something that's happened in your life. You don't have to mourn anymore. He says, because of Jesus, because of the blessing, because of the pouring out of blessings that we cannot contain, you get to put that aside. Your mourning clothes are gone. You have a garment of praise. What does that mean? That means you get up in the morning and you say, hallelujah, I am set free. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? A garment of praise. You should be praising all the time. All the time. It's really hard to mourn when you're praising. If you're walking around your house dancing and praising, there's no heaviness. It's just an automatic lifting. This is part of the tither's blessing. It says that they will be called trees of righteousness planting of the Lord that he may be glorified. You are not a weakling. When you are a tither and a giver and you walk in that blessing, you are a tree. You are planted in the Lord. You are solid. The wind and the waves may come, but you are planted in the rock. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Jesus. He said, they shall rebuild old ruins, and they shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. And when I saw this, I saw the ruined lives of people. You and I, as tithers and believers, are going to be anointed to raise them up again, to be able to speak into the ruined lives of people and say, you don't have to be ruined anymore, in Jesus' name. We're going to build up the things that the enemy has been trying to destroy, even in our nation. Even in our nation. We have authority as tithers to say, I don't think so. and speak that rebuilding over our nation. He continues on, and he says, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. The sons of foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. What does that mean? That means you're going to have people working underneath you. People that God is going to provide to, I know this is kind of hard for some of us to wrap our minds around, but they're going to take care of what our seeds are. We're orchard tenders, right? Well, this verse tells me God's going to bring people in from different places to serve in our orchards. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means you might invest in something with someone and they have the wisdom to make it explode. That means you might have an idea and you bring it to someone else and they say, we can make that idea happen. Does that make sense? God is going to provide those people. And he says, and you shall be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. And you shall eat the riches of Gentiles. In their glory you shall boast. Instead of shame, you shall have double honor. Say double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in the land they shall possess double. Say possess double. And everlasting joy shall be theirs. Why do they have everlasting joy? They got double. Double, 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 double. Double of everything. Why? So you can be blessed to be a blessing. All of this goes with Malachi when he says, I will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you cannot contain. It is not just finances. It's every one of these things that we just read. Why? Christos, Christos, the anointed one. In this passage, we see that he removes burdens, that he sets people free, that he anoints us, that he prospers us, that he blesses us. So when you give your tithes and offerings, you are declaring to everyone in the spiritual realm and everyone around you and saying, I am a part of Christ. I am a part of Christ. This is exciting because this is amazing stuff that blesses our lives because we are with him. Whew. We don't have to be the ones that are groveling. We don't have to be the ones that are just getting by. We don't have to be the ones that are less than. No. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, rise up and take your rightful place and you be the givers. You be the lenders. You be the ones who reach out to heal. You be the ones who reach out to rebuild. You be the ones to have orchards so that others can find their business and find their livelihood in what you have. It's not just to bless you, it's to bless everyone around you. Is this exciting stuff or what? All because you are a tither. 10% gets you all this. I don't know about you, but that's the best deal I've ever seen. And I shop a lot. But that's the best deal. I don't think I could do any better than that one. Amen? Amen. So grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just praise you so much for this amazing word. Well, the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that every knee truly does have to bow to your name. And we thank you, Father, today that as tithers, we give our tithes out of faithfulness to you, but out of full knowledge of what is ours as we tithe. That the floodgates of heaven are opened up, pouring out a blessing that Jesus provided when he said, today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. This has been fulfilled. So we know every one of these promises apply to us as we tithe. And we thank you, Lord, today for helping us to see the abundance of prosperity that is not just finances, but it is everything that is listed in your word that is ours through Christ. We thank you, Lord, for that blessing today. Bless every seed that's sown. Bless the giver, Father. Multiply that seed so that we can be blessed to continue to be a blessing. And we give you all the praise and all the glory today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
We're continuing this message on this Independence Day week entitled The Blessings of Liberty. Somebody say, the blessings of liberty. And it comes from, you know, the first paragraph of the Constitution says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." So, liberty, freedom, right? Unrestrained as a citizen, not a slave, exempt from obligation or liability to dictators. Not exempt from obligation or liability to the speed limit, right? Or these kind of things. Or to biology, right? Hallelujah. Now, the world out there, they try to act like there's more than one way to God. And people by the hundreds and thousands will gather around to root for those people. Yes, go do it, go do it, go do it. But it only ends if you don't do things God's, somebody say God's way. If you don't think do things God's way, it's going to end in potential disaster. No matter how cool it looks, no matter how many people are there to root, no matter how many, representatives and lawyers and Hollywood people, whatever, right? How many know life without God? I mean, that's really an oxymoron. You can't have life without life himself. And so the people out there, now, Evel Knievel, I believe he was a person of faith. I mean, he was rough around the edges, showman. But what a great illustration of people by the thousands gathering to watch somebody try to defy natural law. Well, how many know there are people by the thousands and millions today gathering around to try to root people on to defy spiritual laws? Amen? And it's going to end in disaster. Guaranteed. Guaranteed disaster. Amen. What an illustration of this, right? And trying to have a nation without God. And, I've been in this course entitled Biblical Citizenship. Praise God. From Patriot Academy, Rick Green. And this week's message, the portion was entitled The Seeds of Liberty. And it specifically dealt with the Declaration of Independence. And I thought, perfect. Happens to be the week before the 4th of July, right? But one of the things that Rick Green said was that one of the main differences between the French Revolution and the American Revolution was the French were revolting without God. No faith in God involved. Just freedom, freedom, freedom. The American Revolution was with God. How many know it's good to go to battle with God? No matter what kind of battle it is. Spiritual battle, actual battle, right? Amen. How many know it's good to parent with God, to husband or wife, to business person with God, to be a student with God, to be a preacher? Hello. With God. Amen. To be a citizen with God. Amen. Well, we're going to pass over a lot of the review because of time today. But we're going to get right into the nuggets of this message in this portion entitled The Seeds of Liberty. And one of the things that, again, he was sharing, I believe it was John Quincy Adams shared at the Jubilee, I guess it was the 50-year anniversary of the Constitution, I assume is what that meant. He made a speech, and he said the Constitution, I'm summarizing, the Constitution is basically the foundation on which the structure of, I'm sorry, the Declaration of Independence. Kind of like, you know, we saw the pictures of that house they're building in Africa, how he's working on the foundation, the brick. That would be an illustration of the Declaration of Independence, and the building would be the structure itself would be the Constitution, right? So The foundation of our nation was built upon the Declaration of Independence. And another thing he was sharing in the class was that our founding fathers didn't just pull these ideas out of the air. There were sermons preached in books and, you know, live, but also 100 years beforehand, that they took these concepts from to prayerfully construct the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. So these are biblical principles. That's why our nation will turn 250 years old in 2 years. No other nation on planet Earth can say that about their, Constitution. Why? Faith in God. So what's the devil attacking in our nation? Faith in God. And everything else that, you know, comes underneath that. Hallelujah. And kudos, that's a stupid word to say, a salute to the state of Louisiana. If you haven't heard, that the state of Louisiana is putting the Ten Commandments back in public schools. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. And may other states begin to follow suit. And that's what leaders like Donald Trump are saying. They're saying we need to give the power back to the states. No more of this federal control. Hallelujah. And where did that come from? I was, you know, listening to the Torah portion this week with Rabbi Joseph Shulam, and he shared a statement that I loved from the first prime minister when Israel became a nation again in 1948. The first prime minister, David Ben-Gurion, said this: "The light from the past is our path for the future." So what is the devil trying to do? Destroy our past, question our past, call it evil, call it bad, call it dirty, call it racist, whatever he does. The light from our past will be a guide for our future. Going back and reading the documents, getting the first intent, and remembering where God was faithful before. Rabbi Joseph was talking about, specifically about Joshua and Caleb. Remember the story where Moses sent 12 presidents from each tribe of Israel to go scout out the land, the promised land. And 2 of the 12 brought back a positive report. The other 10 said there's giants, there's this, there's that, there's all these. And the people, he said, went actually into a state of mourning and depression over the negative reports. Joshua and Caleb stayed in that attitude of faith that we can do this. God has called us to do this. And he said, the thing that we need to remember and learn from this, that Torah portion, that particular story, was to remember God's track record. Has he ever helped our country before? Has he ever used our country to help other people? Then look out, devil. Somebody say, we are coming through. I keep getting, sometimes I get a recurring, you know, spiritual, like, vision in my spirit. And this one that's been happening in the past few months is like this rope that's getting pulled, like almost like a tug of war, but it's definitely pulling. And finally, the Lord spoke to me. I'm like, what does this mean? He said, I'm pulling you through. And I take that for the nation. Somebody say, he's pulling us through. Now, if you have a tug of war, like I know my boys in high school, they've had competitions where they try to get people. And Luke did the most recent one. And he said it was hard to find girls to volunteer, right? How many know we need everybody on board? But how many know this? In a tug of war, you really want to be on God's side. Because if you're on God's side, somebody say, you're winning. Somebody say, we're winning. But this particular quote from the Declaration of Independence, I would encourage you to read it. I'm going to read it again this week. Amen. It's just good to be chewing on it, right? And praying and believing God. But he says, pardon me, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, from this point, we're going to be going over points that I learned in this class. Amen. A lot of this really is. Praise God for people like David Barton and so many others. Rick Green, Flashpoint, Gene Bailey. I mean, there's a lot of good folks. Luke Ball. There's just a lot of good voices out there, men and women. But Rick Green, he was going over this first portion. He said there are four essential principles. Remember, we're talking about seeds of liberty. Four essential principles in the Declaration of Independence that hold our freedom firmly in place. First, somebody say self-evident truths, right? These are undeniable facts that moral absolutes exist. Has anybody noticed moral absolutes being questioned? Right? Not just in recent days and years. This has been decades building. Right? Self-evident truths, endowed, number two, endowed by our Creator, our unalienable right to individual freedom comes from God. Notice it doesn't say comes from the nation. And this applies to the whole planet, not just the U.S., right? The U.S. has just been the ones that have gone out and made this thing work, with obviously with struggles. Amen? Individual freedom comes from God. Somebody say that. Individual freedom comes from God, right? Number three, the consent of the governed. We have a voice in our government. Now, true, there are many that think your voice should be squelched to the point of rigging elections, to the point of lying, right? To the point of mandates, right? These are the things that we have to be willing to stand up to. I was with one of our business connections, a client of ours, retired employee from the city of Portland. Lives in a nice property. He owns a rental property right in the hub of all the mess over there. And he's had issues keeping people that will actually pay their rent because they don't believe in paying their rent. And yet they want to live in his rental house. He's had time after issue after, and all the issues going on with the leadership of that city. And he said they've fragmented it now into like a number of different chunks. Everybody has their own like little legislative group now in little pieces of Portland. He's like, it makes it even more complicated. And I said, without even thinking, I said, sounds like a good opportunity for you to be at the next meeting and speak up and say something. He goes, I just have this one little thing here. I said, well, you believe me, you represent hundreds, maybe more than hundreds. And he said, yeah, but if I do, I'll become a target. That was his response. Just think about that. A government that puts fear on people from even doing things that Americans have always had the right and responsibility to do. And I said, sir, that is straight up evil you're talking about. If evil, I didn't continue because I didn't want him to cancel us. But the more I thought about it, it's like God gives you revelation. I heard Bill Winston say this recently. He said, the more we go into these last days, the more challenges, the more corruption, the more evil that we see, the more truth God will give you for that specific time. So there's revelations he's going to be giving the church to deal with current events that we've maybe never even thought of before by the power of God. Amen? If people won't stand up to evil, it's right in their face, and they won't stand up to it, they're part of the problem then. I found a YouTube, like a Zoom meeting with a very renowned scientist. He's retired now. And he was meeting with a number of scientists, really smart people. If you want to know, I'll share it with you if you want to know. But it was probably 90 minutes long or more. And he said, we're just going to look at the facts, the numbers. He said, I'm not getting emotional about this. You know, this is not an emotional thing. We're just simply, and he was talking about how diversity, equity, and inclusion, that whole thing they're pushing, has affected even what we're hearing from science. And he went through physics. A lot of it was just, woo, you know, lofty things they're talking about. But you could hear the spirit behind it. When they're forcing you to choose certain people that fit a certain criteria, you're not going to get the right studies done. And they want to get numbers that they want to get. And he's going through item by item, line upon line. He even said at the end, he goes, listen, he kind of reminded me like of an Elon Musk or an Aaron Rodgers or, you know, the people that are famous, successful, but don't want to come out and say, I'm a conservative. I'm not going to say that. He said at the end, he's like, listen, people probably gonna think I'm a conservative. He goes, I generally lean left. But one of the other scientists spoke up and he said, you know what? Our job is to be apolitical. We're scientists. We do studies and research, and we just simply need to tell you if there's a meteor coming. But they were asking, they went through all these things on how, you know, the culture is even changing scientific process. Scary stuff. And one of them asked him, What do we do? And he's like, you know what? I understand, guys. Most of you are just going to want to keep your head down below the radar and do your job. But he said, if only 3% will stand up and address it, yes, it will probably cost you something, but you'll begin to see things change. And that's exactly what these men, David Barton, I believe, said, that even in the time of the birth of our nation, there was only 3% that really wanted to confront the evil that was coming against our nation. Somebody say 3%. I wonder what the percentage is of Christians that actually go to church. No, we don't want to know. Somebody say, way to go. I'm here. If we don't stand up to the evil, who will? Right? And that's in prayer. That's voting. That's doing our study, our research. Getting truth and facts is going to be harder than it ever was. Because if you Google certain things, it ain't going to show up anymore. Or it's going to be tainted or twisted, right? Certain facts, right? So we have to dig. We have to look at the documents. We have to study. Somebody say study. Hallelujah. Amen. It made me think of some of the old, like, Nazi movies I remember seeing back in the day, and one of the first groups of people they started removing were the scientists. Right? Creepy stuff, man. But praise God, we are on God's side, man. And there is something happening in this nation that is a powerful thing. Hallelujah. So the consent of the governed, we can't be consenting to evil. And I have news for you. Being quiet about it is the same as consenting. If you knew there was a little child being molested by somebody that you knew and you didn't say anything about it, that's jail time. Well, it should be, unless you live in the state of California. Let's not go there, right? I mean, there's nutty stuff happening in our country with some of these governors and things that they're pushing, even removing the abuse of children, reducing, and it's just, there's no end. The point is, there's no end to it if we don't put an end to it. There's no end to it if we don't put an end to it. Hallelujah. Amen. The fourth thing, the pursuit of happiness. What are we talking about? Seeds of liberty. The pursuit of happiness. The importance of free enterprise to our freedom. Hallelujah. Free enterprise is a part of freedom. Glory to God forevermore. George Washington said this, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality," somebody say religion and morality, "are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim to tribute a patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness." Has anyone noticed anyone laboring to subvert the great pillars of religion and morality? Yeah, there's people that do that 25 hours a day and act like it's all right. Somebody say it's not all right. It's deadly. And for people, Christians especially, that just choose to just not look at it, just ignore it. Let's just ignore it. Don't get involved. If we don't put an end to it, there'll be no end to it. The mere politician, Mr. Washington continues, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and cherish them. Somebody say, I respect and cherish religion and morality. Amen. These are pillars of freedom. Not pillars of the United States of America, pillars of freedom. And yeah, they should be pillars of, that's why our nation has lasted this long. Rick Green, he said that 250 years is usually about when nations collapse, historically. Somebody say, uh-oh. No, this is a wake-up call. Hallelujah. Somebody say, we're not going to collapse as a nation. We're coming back. Hallelujah. And wiser, just like the scripture talks about, he renews my strength, renews my youth like the eagle. I've heard some things about eagles that are older eagles, and they'll go find a place to be by themselves, and they kind of gnaw their beak off, and their feathers start coming out, and they grow this new beak and new feathers, and they come out all new. And yet they got a lot more wisdom than the younger ones. Right? Hallelujah. And then we'll close with this. David Barton talked about 6 immutable principles in the Declaration of Independence. 6 immutable principles. I'm going to read some of the detail out of this book here because I couldn't squeeze it all in. Number one, somebody say number one, there is a divine creator. And it says this, believing in a divine creator is the first step toward limited government. Because if government is all supreme, there is nothing that can impose limits. If God is not in the national equation, then government becomes God. Are we hearing anything that remotely sounds similar to that? Yes. Yes, by the bucket loads. And what do people do? Even if they know different, ignore it. Be quiet about it. Hide. Oh, no, you can't do that. if 3%, somebody say, I'm in the 3%. Number two, inalienable rights come from God. Every person has a set of rights given by the Creator. Somebody say every person. This isn't just about Americans. This is what a lot we hear about, is just trashing Americans. This is not an American thing. This is a God thing, right? Every person has a set of rights given by the Creator, not government, which government has no authority to interfere with. Number three, government exists to protect inalienable rights. There is a purpose for government. I was reading yesterday in 2 Chronicles 1 through about 6 or 7 is the establishing of King Solomon's reign. And the first thing that he did, and again, we're getting new revelation of stuff in these current times, right? The first thing he did was established his rule, government. The second thing he did, build the temple. The third thing he did, build his house. Because see, we're not negating the importance of government. What is government there to do? Enforce the law. Law and order. If there's no law and order, there's no church. And what's under siege? Law and order. No church, no family. Isn't that interesting? So see, this didn't come from the Constitution. It came from the Word of God. That's why we still stand these almost 250 years later. Hallelujah, right? Government exists, number three, to protect inalienable rights. Government is not there to provide for us, but to protect us while we go out and produce. The more government provides for us, the less prosperous we are because the less initiative we have. Has anyone noticed a government that doesn't seem to want to protect the public anymore? And I know this is, again, state to state, but in our region, oh, yeah. Have you noticed security guards at the grocery stores? Have you noticed any grocery stores that it's almost like you're going into jail when you walk in there? I mean, gates and why? Because they won't enforce shoplifting. People who just come in and raid the shelves. You know, I mean, we can go on and on and on about these things. This is symptoms of a spiritual problem. Amen? Number four, there is a fixed moral law. The lack of a fixed moral law leads to anarchy, where every person gets to decide for themselves what is right and wrong, and the powerful control the weak. Does this sound familiar? Did we ever think we'd see the day in this nation, right? John Quincy Adams called this the law of the tiger and the shark. Somebody say there is a fixed moral law. These are seeds of liberty. Number five, two more. The consent of the governed or the will of the majority. This principle only follows. Now, these next two are, you know, in relation to the first four being followed. If the first four aren't being followed, these next two mean nothing. Right? The consent of the governed or the will of the majority. This principle only follows the principles stating that there are inalienable rights and a fixed moral law. The consent of the governed does not overrule these basic truths. And number six, the people's right to change their government. Because government comes from the people, we can change our government in any way needed if the first five principles are violated. Somebody say, game on. That if there was a little sign that said, you are here. Change. Righteous change. Glory to God. There was one other statement I was gonna find for you as we close here. The gist of it was, God gives freedom directly to people who then give consent to a governing body. God does not give freedom to a governing body that then delegates it and disperses it to the people. Freedom is delivered directly to you from God, and then it's your responsibility to select leaders that reflect that, not the other way around, which is what we're hearing a lot about. Oh, no, we're the government. We tell you what to do. Don't leave your house. Get a shot. You shouldn't even go to the Blazer game if you don't do this and that, right? Wear masks if we tell you. Don't complain if we come take your... We're going to give you what you need to survive, so don't complain if we come and take it again. Don't get too comfortable with that so-called private property. Who do you think you are? You still living back in the old days? Don't you think we should... Don't you even think there should be closed borders? I mean, this is the kind of insanity that if we don't put a stop to it, it's not going to stop. And those voices are the ones that act like, deceptively act like they are the spokespeople for human rights. But no, they're not. They're the spokespeople for slavery, anarchy, right? Socialism, communism, Marxism, all the isms that the devil uses to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus said, somebody say, but Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. My daughters shared a video in recent years, not extremely recent, but in recent years, of what terrorist group was this kid from that was in jail? ISIS. Yeah. There was a kid in jail, an ISIS young man. And there was this video of him, and he's just weeping. And he's like, Jesus came into my jail cell. And I said, who are you? And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And the kid's like, I met Jesus. I met Jesus. He told me, and he had no idea that that was in the Bible or any, you know, and he's like, I got to understand more what that means. Somebody say, Jesus is on our side. Well, actually, let's be like Abraham Lincoln. That's not the question, is Jesus on my side? The question is, am I on his side? Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't we all stand up and we'll pray? Hallelujah. These are somber times, right? And we don't hide from that. We don't hide from it. We take our stand of faith. We take our stand of faith. We follow the light that our forefathers left us that will lead us on into a bright future. Glory to God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for our forefathers, God, that left us a pathway that literally came right from your word. The freedom of God, the liberty of God. We receive it, Lord, and we want to be spokespeople, people, a church, a body, individuals that know the truth. Hallelujah. And that are dispensers of it, like lighthouses that point people to you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful time to celebrate our nation's birth. And we speak the healing power of God on our land. We speak righteous changes, even in governments and cities and states that people think would never change. We speak the righteousness of God, the turning to the truth away from darkness and toward the light. That godly leaders would replace those who just hate you, Lord, that hate righteousness, that hate justice, that hate truth, that hate life and liberty. That they would either be changed or be removed and replaced. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, that this Independence Day, Lord, we will celebrate freedom, God, and stand for the freedom of this nation. And again, Lord, it just comes back to children. Children, that they would be protected, that they would be safe and taught the truth. Hallelujah. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. Have a blessed day, everybody. Happy 4th of July. Love somebody. Amen.